Friends, if you've got other plans today at 4 o'clock, cancel them. I don't make a plug like that very often, but last week we were reminded in the story of Abraham and Sarah that they were blessed, that they might be a blessing to others. And clearly today we are in for a treat as these women and men from Kiev in the Ukraine have been blessed with enormous talent and a passion to share that talent as an expression of their love in Jesus Christ. And they have come here to be a blessing for us. So we're hoping to have this place packed out this afternoon and encourage you not only to come back, but to bring a few friends and neighbors and family members along with you. We are in store for a real, real blessing. Amen. Well, as some of you know, yesterday was my 50th birthday. And if you see a few people on staff shaking their head, it's because I told them a few weeks ago, please don't mention my birthday in worship. It's embarrassing. And to be honest, I wasn't really planning on mentioning it myself, except that a couple of days ago, I was sitting with a friend of mine, a pastor at another local church, and he was asking me about plans for the big event. And then he said, "You're not preaching on your birthday weekend, are you?" And I said, "Wait, was that an option?" But then I thought about it and I realized that honestly, as I prepare for my next trip around the sun and what I hope will be my next half century, there's nowhere I'd rather be this morning than in the house of the Lord, worshiping with sisters and brothers in Christ, sharing the warmth of the fellowship of this family of faith. There's nothing I'd rather be doing this morning than lifting up words, prayer and song to God in praise, learning more about the faith in which we are embedded and a part. And there's nothing I'd rather be talking about this morning than the ways in which we as disciples of Jesus Christ are called to be the hands and feet of Christ out in the world today, shining light and love into some of the darkest and most urgent places, addressing some of the most important concerns and needs of the world around us. But I'm getting ahead of myself. 40 stories we can't live without, Act 4. This morning we turn to Genesis chapter 39. The full text of chapter 39 was a little long for our time this morning, so I've edited it down into a slight bit of a paraphrase. So listen this morning as we hear God's word for us today. Now Joseph, this is the grandson of Abraham, you might recall. Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. He made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Now Joseph was handsome and good-looking. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused. One day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called out to the members of her household, and she said to them, "He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And when he heard me raise my voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Then she kept his garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story. When the master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, "This is the way your servant treated me," he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, For you are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, amen. One of the things we've been learning in these opening chapters of Genesis, these stories of our origins, particularly for we who are a part of the Judeo-Christian tradition, is that we were created by a loving God and called good. For we who are humankind, created in God's image, we are called very good and set free to love God and one another and to tend to protect and serve all of God's creation. And yet it seems almost from the very beginning, we turn instead to acts of rebellion, seeking out the path of our own status and security, rebelling against God and God's creation, and even against one another, time and time again. God reboots the computer, so to speak, in the story of Noah and Noah's Ark, pressing the reset button, trying to renew this experiment with creation. And yet still, even with God's covenant to remain faithful to us, humankind continues to rebel against God and one another. Until we find near the end of the book of Genesis that it's Joseph, Abraham's grandson, who is sold into slavery by his brothers. Now, some would argue that Joseph had it coming. He was a bit precocious and perhaps even a little bit obnoxious. And yet, can anything really justify his brothers, for their own profit and convenience, selling him into human slavery? And then, though God favors him, though God continues to accompany him, his situation goes from bad to worse, as he is not only sold into human slavery, but then is imprisoned unjustly for reasons not of his own making. And we find in these stories one of the earliest, though not the only example, of human slavery, of our tendency towards one another, to devalue one another so greatly for our own convenience and profit that we are willing to literally sell one another into slavery. Now, some might wonder if God's favor and steadfast love for Joseph is given to him because he is a part of this lineage from the promised covenant for Abraham and Sarah. And so, of course, for him, God would accompany him with favor and steadfast love. But in fact, what we actually discover from generation to generation to generation is that it is God's character and nature to value and seek out an intention for freedom for all who find themselves in captivity. Until finally, some generations later, the entire nation of Israel is ripped from their promised land and enslaved in exile in Babylon. And even there we find a declaration of God's intent and character as God speaks through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 61, a text that we often hear in Advent, where the prophet says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release for the prisoners." Or we might say in more common English vernacular, freedom for the captives and freedom for the prisoners. It is God's intent that all would experience freedom. Now, I suspect today when we hear about and think about slavery, the first thing that comes to mind is the awful legacy of the transatlantic slave trade, which from the 16th through the 19th centuries ripped millions of mostly West and Central Africans from their homeland and brought them against their will to be sold for forced labor along the coast of the Americas, from North America to South America. And while we still confront the awful repercussions of that slave trade in the racism that we experience today here and around the world, racism that we are called to confront and continue to dismantle, we nevertheless, with some gratitude, give thanks that at least the more formal structures of that slave trade were dismantled in the 19th century. And not unimportantly, in large part because of the efforts of people of faith, William Wilberforce more famously, but many, many others, who stood up in the face of slavery and said, no more. This is not who we are. This is not who our God has called us to be. This is not what we are about. And so with that gratitude, we might look back and give thanks that slavery no longer exists, at least not in that formal way in the world around us today. And tragically, nothing could be further from the truth. The reality is that by some estimates, over 40 million people are enslaved today. By some estimates, more people are slaves today around the world than at any other time in human history, being trafficked against their will, either for labor or specifically for sex, in order to profit those who are exploiting them. In many parts of the world, the laws are too lax and law enforcement are too ill-equipped to offer any hope of rescuing them out of those situations. And so they find themselves hopeless, alone, and afraid. One out of every five people that are trafficked for labor are children. One out of every four people who are trafficked for sex are children. And while we might be tempted to think that's simply a problem for those over there who are living in abject poverty in developing countries, the reality, too, is that this is a real problem here at home, in the United States, and right here in northern Colorado. There are immigrants who are trafficked for labor for fear that they will be arrested or deported, and so they work under slave conditions right here in Larimer County. There are vulnerable children and women who are trafficked for sex by those who seek to exploit them and entrap them with mental and physical abuse for their own profit. In August, the Fort Collins Police Department set up a sting in which they put an advertisement out claiming to be a 21-year-old woman offering services for money. And within hours, they had almost 300 responses. Eventually, about a dozen men would be arrested. In the last year that we have statistics that are available from 2016, the district attorney reported 123 minors rescued from sex trafficking along the Front Range, and over 200 arrests and convictions for those who were guilty of soliciting prostitution, for those who were engaging on the demand side of human trafficking right here at home. One of those victims is a woman named Megan. Megan, as a young adult, grew up right here in our community in Greeley, went to the high school there. And yet, as a young woman, found herself trapped in a desperate situation, married at too young an age, she would say, to a man who was abusive and alcoholic. She was finally able to escape, but when she did, she found herself penniless and desperate and with two hungry mouths of young children to feed. In her desperation, she was courted by a handsome young man who seemed to take a shine to her. Only later would she realize that he was not courting her, he was grooming her. And eventually, through the coercion of his mental and physical abuse, he would convince her that she should prostitute her body, sell herself for sex, in order to make the money she would need to care for her young children and herself. And she got trapped in that human trafficking for over 4 years until she was finally able, thank God, to escape. Now, as we hear these stories globally and locally, we might wonder today where God's favor and steadfast love can be found. And the good news is that our God, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, our God who has made a covenant to be with and for us, is still here, even in these situations that appear to be so lost and hopeless. On the international front, there is an organization called the International Justice Mission, which was founded over 20 years ago by a guy named Gary Haugen, who, as an international human rights lawyer and advocate, had been involved in dismantling the Rwandan genocide and convicting those who were guilty of instituting that genocide. And as a Christian himself, he realized that there was an urgent need to intervene around the world in places of human trafficking. And so he started IJM, International Justice Mission, as a way in which now, some 20 years later, there are hundreds of law enforcement officers and judges and lawyers and counselors and teachers who are rescuing and restoring people from situations of human trafficking. There are thousands of volunteers around the country and around the world, and tens of thousands of supporters that pray for and make that work possible through their generous contributions. Now, those statistics can be overwhelming in their scope, and it's important to remember that each of those represents an individual human being, one who, through no fault of their own, is trafficked, finds him or herself in a situation that is hopeless and alone. One of those stories is the story of a young girl named Liana, who grew up in the Dominican Republic. She couldn't understand why she was living with her grandparents and not her mom. She knew that there was something wrong with her mother, but she couldn't quite figure it out, and she wouldn't really understand it until she got to be a little bit older. Here's the story of Liana in the Dominican Republic.
Dear Mother, it's been a while since we've seen each other. There are so many things I want to ask you. When I was growing up, I wondered why I lived with my grandpa. Why was I not with you? Where were you all those years? I didn't understand that you were hurting yourself and hurting our family. I didn't know that was why you were away. Do you remember the summer of my 14th birthday?
Feliz, te deseamos a ti.
I thought this is what my life should be. You and me together. So, when you ask me to live with you, I say yes. I didn't know that you were so broken. Dream of being your daughter. Being with you, my mother, meant I was supposed to be safe. But everywhere you took me, I wasn't. Did you know that I pray for you?
Dios mío, te pido por un milagro. Por favor, hazme el milagro de que mi madre mejore y deje todas sus adicciones. Dios mío, por favor, haz que este dolor pare.
The day I go away from you, and when I finally go to tell Grandpa the truth, was hard. Ever since I spoke up, everything has changed. With IJM's help, I'm now safe. The fear I had is disappearing. I'm overcoming all that has happened. It's hard to see you in jail, but I hope you can get better. Mother, I forgive you. Your daughter, Liana.
Here's the good news. The story of Liana is one of thousands of those who have been rescued and restored by the faithful work of brothers and sisters in Christ at International Justice Mission. Those who have perpetrated this violence against them have been arrested and imprisoned, and they too are being given opportunities for their own restoration and healing from the brokenness that allows them to be in the situations that they are in. And locally, Megan, who grew up in Greeley and experienced for herself what it meant to be a victim of human trafficking, escaped. And after being back with her family, was able to return to school at UNC and founded an organization 4 years ago called Free Our Girls, in which she's working with local law enforcement and counselors, teachers, and others to help rescue and restore vulnerable children and women right here on the Front Range. She works in collaboration with groups like You Count, a ministry based out of Timberline Church that also, along with other Christians here in the community, is seeking to find pathways out of human trafficking for those who find themselves in situations where they believe that they are alone and hopeless. This morning, if you feel a tug to respond, if you feel a call in your life to engage as the hands and feet of Christ, there's a table out in the narthex behind you on your way out and another one in Shep Hall this morning that has information about the work of International Justice Mission, information about how you can pray for them, how you can support them financially as a Freedom Partner if you choose to do so, and stay engaged with and learning about and supporting their work. You'll find information about local ministries like Free Our Girls and You Count and others. And if you'd like to continue to learn about and be engaged in this work here at First Presbyterian Church, there's a sign-up sheet for you to simply put your name and your email address so that I can share much more information with you than we have time to reveal this morning. And if there are a critical mass of us, to continue as a team together, a kind of freedom team at First Presbyterian Church, who might continue to meet and discover new ways that we too can intervene on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ to rescue and restore those who find themselves being trafficked for labor and for sex in our community and around the world. For this, friends, is the very heart and character and intent of our Creator God. Remember, too, that this is not just a God of the Old Testament in another time and place. As we connect the dots and the arc of Scripture together, remember that it was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 4 when he stands up in the synagogue and he takes the scroll that is handed to him and he turns to a passage from the prophet Isaiah, and Jesus reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free." This is the heart and character and intent of our loving and faithful God that we know in Jesus Christ. And for we who are called to follow, may we be servants through whom The light and love of Christ can shine into even and especially the darkest places in our community and around the world. That we can be the hands and feet of Christ, bring release and liberty and freedom so that all might know this, the favor and the steadfast and unshakable love of our loving God. Amen.